Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday, January 16th session of the Portland City Council. Welcome. It's great to see some young people here today. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Y'all excited?
Yes.
Yeah, good. We're going to make this interesting and fun. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Hardesty?
Here.
U Daily?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in Council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the Council Clerk's Office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony and resolutions or first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Thank you very much. First item up is item number 47, please, Carla.
Authorize relocation and placement of the Mayo House, 2236 Northeast Sacramento Street. Change comprehensive plan and zoning map designations from residential 2500 R2.5 to mixed-use urban center CM3 at 236 Northeast Sacramento Street and 2313 WINE Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Waive certain charges and requirements, retain the Mayo House on the historic resource inventory and as a contributing structure.
Colleagues, we're here today to hear public testimony on a proposed relocation effort with the move of the historic Mayo House, which is located in the Elliott neighborhood. Please note that there is a revised impact statement that's been included in your packets. The financial and budgetary impacts were not in the earlier edition. Additionally, we have a substitute for Exhibit A, and I'd like to request a motion for Exhibit A, the substitute.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Hardesty has moved. Commissioner Fritz has seconded the amendment. I'd like to take the roll on that, put it on the table, please. Is there any further discussion?
Would you just explain what is the difference between what was published?
Joe, could you come up and explain the amendment, please?
It's the findings. An earlier filing had the findings against the comprehensive plan criteria for a comprehensive plan change, but did not include the zone change criteria. So it's just the criteria against both the comprehensive plan and the zoning map.
Thank you.
Very good. So very good. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
U Daily.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Thank you. Now I'd like to invite BPS Interim Director Joe Zender and staff Nan Stark and Brandon Spencer Hartle up to tell us a little bit more about this ordinance, which will be heard on an emergency basis today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. We have a very short presentation on this project to give you. Brandon's first going to walk through the property and sort of what the history of the property and what the actions are. Nan's going to talk us through the elements that are contained in the ordinance, and I'll wrap up by discussing the STC waiver in particular. So with that, I'll turn it over to Brandon.
Mayor, Commissioners, Brandon Spencer Hartle, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Historic Resources Program Manager. And Nan, if I could get you to advance to the next slide. So we're here to talk to you today about the Martin Mayo House. The Martin Mayo House is located in the sort of broader Albina area at 206 Northeast Sacramento Street between Rodney and MLK. Get your next. The Mayo House was built in 1895 for Austrian immigrant Martin Mayo. It was moved in 1912 to make room for a larger mixed-use apartment building and moved again in 1930 when Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard was widened and that larger apartment building was shifted back. So the house had been on its current site since 1930. It was restored after a fire in 1964. Next slide. And in 1984, it was identified in the citywide comprehensive historic resource inventory as a significant ranked resource for architectural history and significance. About a decade later, the City Council created the Elliott Conservation District. And in that conservation district, this building was identified as a contributing historic resource. So it's both on the inventory and contributing to that conservation district. In the conservation district, the property is subject to a 120-day demolition delay provision, which has no opportunity for denial or extension. And on January 11th, a demolition permit was issued for the Martin Mayo House. I'll go next slide. And I'm going to turn it over here to Nan to talk about the proposed move-in ordinance.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler.
Good afternoon.
Commissioners. Commissioner Hardesty, welcome to the city.
Thank you.
My name is Nan Stark. I'm the Northeast District Liaison with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I will briefly review the ordinance with you, but first I'm just going to give you a little background on how we got here today. In my role as a district liaison, I try to connect the community with issues and concerns related to city government, and in this case, I reached out to let people know about the 120-day notification for the possible demolition or deconstruction of the Mayo House to see if we could find collaboratively a new location for the house. And at that time, I also met with the owner's representatives of the Mayo House property, knowing that they had a redevelopment in mind, and that's why they needed to remove the house. But I did want to alert them early on that this was a community priority to try to save the house and to kind of get that on their timeline. And also with Brandon's help, he reached out to the preservation community. And through all that effort, the Davis family stepped forward. They own a property three doors down from the Mayo House, also on Sacramento Street. So it's a rare opportunity that you're going to find a relocation spot so close by. And then we also had a consulting team step forward who has a lot of experience in doing historic house moves. So it's been a collaborative effort all along. And since that time, I've learned from the Davises about the history of their property. And Cleo Davis will tell you more about that history today. It included removal of the apartment house that you see on the screen on the left that was considered blight property in the early 1980s. That structure was identified as a cornerstone of community property for its association with the African American community. The house on the right that you see is the one that still exists on the property. So the one on the left was removed. And has been an open space on the lot since then. So now I'll just go over the specifics about the ordinance, which is to change the comprehensive plan and the zoning map to align with what's adjacent to it, which is the mixed-use urban center comp plan designation and the CM3 mixed-use mixed commercial 3 zoning, and also to retain the contributing status for the Mayo House structure, to waive SDC fees associated with the move, and also to waive a couple of the standards in the community design standards for the new foundation. So in terms of comprehensive plan policies, what we're bringing today is a unique opportunity for the city to advance our comprehensive plan goals and policies while also providing community benefits. This is not a precedent. We've done the same things for other house moves. This project itself supports the policies that you see on preservation equity, cultural diversity, economic viability, and disparity reduction. So it is a unique case in supporting these and many other comprehensive plan goals and policies that you will see a discussion of in the findings for this. There are also a number of public benefits associated with the project. It provides community benefits. It provides wealth-generating opportunities. It preserves a piece of the historic fabric of the Elliott neighborhood, offers the opportunity for a potential future community space, and allows redevelopment of the site that the Mayo House was formerly on. And now I'll just describe to you what the zone change is. So what you're looking at is the existing zoning on the left-hand side. The two shaded lots are the two that we are changing. And so what you'll see if this is adopted is the what's listed as the proposed zoning on the right-hand side. It aligns with the CM3 zoning to the north, which goes into the commercial area on Russell Street. You see MLK Junior Boulevard adjacent to the east or right of these properties, Russell Street to the north, and then the site is on Sacramento Street. There is a auto repair site that is at the corner of Sacramento and MLK. Just to the west of that is a lot that is currently zoned R2.5, and it's also in the same ownership as the auto repair site, and then the Davis property to the west of that. So what this would do would be to rectify that non-conforming situation that's currently there in the auto repair site, and include the Davis property into the CM3 zoning. So you'll get some benefits from that. It'll rectify that non-conforming situation. It will allow greater densities and mixed-use options for the site that the Mayo House will be located on. And it will also allow a transfer of unused floor area ratio as a result of the Mayo House move that could potentially go to other development sites in the future. And with that, I will turn it over to Joe, who's going to talk about the system development charges.
Great. Thank you, Nan. So there's two aspects to the requested SDC waiver for the Mayo House. But first, you know, system development charges, as the council well knows, are fees that are charged for new dwelling units to pay into water and sewer system capacity and to upgrade transportation and parks infrastructure. This is sort of an essential tool for how we pay for the growth of the city and not one to be waived lightly. The kind of things that we looked at here with this particular property is that the house that is being moved already exists and it stays within roughly the same block as its previous location. To an extent, it's a new unit, but struck us as between the historic preservation objectives and others, not a significant increase. But the numbers on this slide summarize the total amount of fees for the house move that would be waived. Second, there's an STC waiver that's part of this ordinance as well for the new basement apartment that would be located in the Mayo House. So the Mayo House is going to be relocated, put on a new foundation, and a unit would be added in the basement. And the waiver is proposed to help offset the large cost of moving this house and to help limit the financial liability on the new owners. And so our criteria here are not so explicit. How you're sort of tracking within the same area, is this a new unit or not, and is it adequately offset by other public benefits to waive this SDC? Some of the things to consider is that, as Nan showed you in that picture, what used to be here was a 7-unit apartment building. What used to be here was torn down. That building was torn down in 1982. That building was torn down as part of the blight ordinance that the city had at the time. And the blight ordinance itself and how it was applied to the Elliott neighborhood has an equity story built into it. And at the end of the day, this would just be one additional unit. Well, it's actually a unit, and upstairs is a different use. So we thought that was a fair balancing of those potential impacts. However, the total amount that's waived for the basement apartment is $14,000 for SDCs.
Joe,
yes.
Could I just ask a real quick question? We made the waiver for SDCs and ADUs permanent, so why wouldn't that apply? Why are we looking at this as if we're making a special accommodation?
I believe this is not an accessory unit in this case. Is that?
I think it's because there are now restrictions on receiving that waiver.
Okay.
We do have an expert in the room, Matt Wickstrom, who...
It's all right. I mean, presumably we are going to pass this and waive both of them, but I am a little confused.
Yeah, I think that would be my assumption, but I apologize, Commissioner. I don't know.
Oh, no problem.
So the questions come up about do we have a policy and are there precedents for this? The City Council has used this tool of the SDC waiver to support historic preservation in the past. The two examples I wanted to show you are first, this property on Southeast Hawthorne. It's a very large house, was relocated, and SDC's waivers were approved by City Council. I believe this one was in 2012. And then what's interesting about this is that it's also I don't know if it was explicitly discussed by City Council at that time, but the house moved and became more than just a single-family house. There were some additional units added to it since it was such a large structure. Second example is the one that's more current. It's the Morris Marks house that was relocated from the central city out to the edge of South Portland. And once again, STC waivers were approved by City Council, this time in 2017, to help economically support what is a valuable project to do but has a different level of expense. Finally, whether or not, and these were the two most recent examples that we were able to find. This is not a tool that's used very frequently. However, it is fair to say that it's not a tool also where we have explicit policy guidance on when to apply it and when not to apply it. We're undertaking, if you can go to the last slide, Nan, a couple of changes to the historic landmarks code. Brandon's bringing forward a code improvement package in the coming year. And also at the state level, there's some changes that are really going to be useful to Portland if they go through vis-a-vis how we establish residential historic districts. But even neither of these two actions, and these are the biggest two changes on the horizon, will really change the prospect of the use of relocation of historic structure. So it's still going to stay this kind of episodic and unique to the building application. And with that, we conclude our presentation.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. On the topic of system development charges, if the use changes to a commercial use in the future, at that point, would system development charges be assessed?
I believe they would, yes.
And what would trigger that?
If I could ask Matt to come up, I'll let him answer it specifically.
Thank you.
Hi, Matt Wickstrom, Bureau of Development Services. The permit for the new commercial use would trigger the system development charges to be assessed at that time.
So if you're changing from a residential use to a commercial use, you have to get a permit to do that?
Yes, change of occupancy.
Thank you.
At the very minimum, and then likely a higher threshold. If I could answer Commissioner Udaly's question, there would be three dwelling units on the site, and so accessory dwelling units are only in a situation where there's a house and one additional dwelling unit. So it would it's really more of a technicality that the two units on the site couldn't be called accessory dwelling units.
And with a change of use permit from residential to commercial, what if the use is for a nonprofit or a community space? Is that still considered commercial?
It would be considered probably a community service use, potentially. Mm-hmm. However, it would still need a permit.
So they would be required.
So there's still the potential for the SDC bureaus to then look at SDCs. I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
Oh, no. I'm just sorry to hear that.
However, I guess I should say for a community service use, I can't say how their fees would apply or what level of fees, but I know it would give the potential for them to look at their fee schedule and assess whether fees would apply.
I guess I'd just say that I feel really strongly about this project in regards to disparity reduction and remedying past harm. So while I understand that a change of use would typically trigger SDCs, I'm concerned about that potential in this case where we're acknowledging disparities and harm done to the property owner and looking at this as some kind of remediation, but we may still charge them SDCs if they want to change the use of their property and perhaps generate more revenue from it.
Commissioner, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
And I just want to say that on behalf of the utilities, we have to be extremely careful about how we allocate SDC waivers. I mean, we don't have to have that public discussion. There may be lawyers watching. So we can talk about the most laudable goals there are, but we have to be very judicious. But I see no reason why in this case, if you have this concern, we couldn't have a friendly amendment that simply provides that if there is a change of use at some point, council's directed that they get notice before SDCs are applied. So a member of council would then have a chance to say, under these circumstances, we suggest there be a deferral or waiver or something.
And
but I want to caution on behalf of the utilities that you know you can put the mission and goal and the purpose as close to the chair next to God as you want. It doesn't avoid certain concerns that we have to bring to the table around Nexus because it's a closed system, but. Why not have the council notified if that contingency ever occurs so that it could supersede whatever decision BDS makes?
Sure. And to be clear, number one, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You're simply the messenger in telling us what the policies are. I just wanted to go on record expressing that concern and questioning whether or not there's any anything additional we need to do now. But it sounds like an amendment that would bring it back to council and so we could sort out what fees would have to be assessed and what could be waived. Sounds good to me.
Is that a motion?
Sure.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Udaly, and I think...
Can you restate what the amendment is? Sorry.
Commissioner Udaly.
Kids, isn't this thrilling?
Yeah.
In the event of a change of occupancy prior to assessing any systems development charges, the Bureau of Development Services shall notify the council, which shall have the opportunity to take action before the effective date of any system development charges.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
And that
okay,
will be
that
new
is
directive.
The motion. It was moved by Commissioner Udaly. It was seconded by Commissioner Fish, who just by this much beat out Commissioner Hardesty. So I'd give him a tie if I could under the rules, but I can't. So that is now on the table at the discretion of the council. We could either vote now or wait till after testimony. Commissioner Udaly, what's your preference?
I think after testimony.
Very good.
Fine.
We'll leave that amendment on the table for people to comment on. Very good. Does that complete your testimony?
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you for the presentation. It was very good. It was to the point. Before we start public testimony, I'd like to invite Cleo Davis, who is the owner of the property to which the Mayo House is going to be located, to come up and make a few remarks. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's nap time.
I know. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. So much has already been said. I've been racking my brains the last...
Can you put your name on the record, please?
My name is Cleo Davis, Jr. Thank you. And you're welcome. I've been racking my brains for the last couple weeks about what I was going to say here. And I pretty much started off with saying that it was an honor to be here, which, it's not. So let's be truthful. In no disrespect to the current panel, my family has had a long history here in Portland, as well as many other African Americans in this community. Our story is not necessarily unique. The only difference with this story is that it's actually documented. It's something that I remember, and it's something that I can dig out proof from the city archives. And we have all the proof. A lot of it done in art down on the first floor. My grandmother, Mama Julia Davis Williams, purchased this property in 1982 in the hopes of having it as rental income. She wasn't from Portland. This was her vacation stay from Phoenix, Arizona. When the weather got hot, her and her family, including my father and his siblings, would come to Portland. It was a lot cooler than Phoenix. But eventually, by the 80s, I was already born, and that branch of the family had made a home here. And one of the ways of income that my grandmother really went for and instilled in her family was property. You own property, and you'll always have a place to stay. And no one can tell you what to do with it, whether it's residential for a place to stay or whether it's commercial for you to do your work, because no one's going to hire you. You make your own living. So in 1982, she purchased this property with a 7-unit apartment building in the front and a small serving quarters in the back for $20,000. All of her children were builders. My father, let me slow down. Every single one of my uncles, as well as my dad, could build a structure from the ground up. But they had a specialty. My father's specialty was electric. So although that he could build a building from the ground up, he specialized in electric and bringing energy to a building. His younger brother was a structural engineer, a civil engineer who specialized in structural capabilities. Oldest brother was a carpenter, a roofer, could put any pitch, any type of complicated gables onto a structure. And the second oldest was a mason. He could do any type of brickwork that you could think of. Parquet, do designs, put your name in brick. That's just a little bit of background. And my aunt, their only sister, was more into the management and the financial side of things. So when my grandmother looked at this place, she saw that this would be a source of income for the family. Well, it had a blight ordinance on it from another Davis family, another black Davis family. And back then, wasn't easy. It ain't easy today either. I'm saying black back then. It wasn't easy to get property. So there's all kind of stories where black folks had to work together or get the neighborhood that we live in was previously occupied by Germans and Ashkenazi Jews who would help us, who would put their name on the deeds and then transfer it to us. So gaining property for black folks, not just in Portland but in America, has always been a difficult task. Wealth building. We've been the ones that been exploited. And every time we try to come up, it's ripped right from us by anything. Nuisance laws, bogus racist policies, so just to keep us as the workers or to kill us off. But back to the story. I may go on tangents, but it's all applicable to what I'm saying. So the city was upset. We weren't aware of any of the urban policies and the plans and near the Lloyd District or what property value was going to be worth. My family, what we did, we were builders, creatives, and we went fishing. We didn't go to council meetings. We weren't in the know like that. We had other interests. So when my grandmother purchased it in 1982, the city was upset because it restarts the clock of getting things up to code. So it was very difficult because my grandmother fought. And she went to council. She fought till 1984 for those two structures. They were both set to be condemned, and council shot it down. Council said, no, the structure is unfit. If you look at the structure, and my uncle, being a civil and structural engineer, they wouldn't allow them to. We were allowed to submit permits, but permits weren't granted because we had to have a $50,000 bond in 1982 in order to do this. Who has $50,000 to just let stay away with no interest? So council shot it down. And that's why I'm saying it's not necessarily an honor to be here. It's cool in the memory of my grandmother, Mama Julia, and my family that's here supporting me, and my dad who has, you know, been through everything with my grandmother, as well as taking her to the doctor due to high blood pressure, coming to meetings and dealing with city ordinances and dealing with the notifications coming in through the mail and so on and so forth and all the stress. There's human harm. There's damage done here. And that's really what I want to address and get you guys to understand. It's just not for me. It's not just about policies and what we can and can't do. We create policies as humans to help humanity. But many of the policies that we're still operating under are still racist policies that only benefit a few. So basically what I'm here to say is do the right thing. Do the right thing and pass this through. My grandmother, since 1982, since she has purchased the property, rough calculations, not in debt. If we got in debt, it would be more. For those 7-unit apartment buildings, our family has lost over $2.5 million. And everyone around us is building skyscrapers, and we have back tax to pay. Portland Map Us, 236 Northeast Sacramento Street, which was also 234 Northeast Sacramento Street. So what our goal is today is to right this wrong. We're not here asking for money. We're asking for the opportunity. Let me change my language. I'm not asking. I'm saying we have to have the opportunity. We have to have the opportunity to be prosperous. We have all these other bogus programs going around that aren't necessarily going to help. We have all this conversation about displaced peoples and certain properties are being given back to the black community. Who's it going to benefit? We have preference policies that aren't going to work because the policies aren't in place to allow that. So what I'm here to say is do the right thing. We also plan on, with that house move, of course we plan on putting together a prosperity package for a family, but we also plan on opening it up to the community for other members of the diaspora to prosper. We need to create cities and policies that help all people, not that just exploit. There's been enough exploitation going on. And I'll end with, do the right thing. Pass this through.
Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing the story. We appreciate it. I don't know if you wanted to say a few words.
In a minute. I'm going to let everybody else go, and then I'll go.
Okay, very good.
Layer down.
Thank you. So with that, we'll open it up to public testimony. And just a reminder that this is public testimony about the proposed map change. As staff indicated, this is a proposed change to the comprehensive plan and zoning maps from residential R2.5 to mixed-use urban center, CM3 for the site where the Mayo House will be moved, which is 236 Northeast Sacramento Street, and the abutting property just to the west, which is 2313 West Northeast ML King Jr. Boulevard. Carla, how many people do we have signed up today?
I show 10 left on the list.
Very good. Call up the first three. And again, if you can just state your name for the record, we don't need your address. The microphones work best if they're about 6-8 inches away. They're very, very sensitive microphones. And if you could keep your testimony to 3 minutes, please.
Okay. The first three, please come on up, are Karen Carlson, Rick Michelson, and A.J. McCreary.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being here.
Karen Carlson. We were here before you about a little over a year ago, a little year and maybe 4 months, with another house move. Thank you. We're making progress on that. And it's really, we're pleased to be a part of this house move. It's unique. And it means a whole lot more than just saving a historic property, as you just heard. Mayor Wheeler, I must thank you for your help in making this happen. And I recall distinctly at the Morris Marks House, You expressed that you had nothing to do with it. Do you remember?
I do.
Well, now you do, so thank you.
And I'm very thrilled, by the way, with the Morris Marks House. I think that was a fantastic collaborative effort on the part of the city. I just didn't want to claim credit for something I really had nothing to do with.
But now you can claim credit.
Now's my big chance. Thank you for remembering that.
So it is moving along, since no one has mentioned. The house will be moved on the 27th of January. That's just less than 2 weeks from now. Work has been underway. We have an excavation. We have the house being lifted tomorrow. I invite you all to come and see it. House moves are pretty fun. This one is a short one, so don't take a long time like the Morris Marks did. But it's been a pleasure to work with Cleo. The representative for the developer has been very cooperative as well, removing trees, even contributing some to the move. So I want to make sure that we understand that, you know, there has been help on that side. They're not stopping the house move. They're helping the house move. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Rick Michelson, and apparently I am the House Move Bank of Portland because this is the second one that I'm financing and making sure happens. I'm really pleased to be involved with this house for a couple of reasons. One is meeting Cleo and working with him has been, and his family is wonderful. The other is my dear friend Kathy Galbraith from the Bosco Milligan Foundation recently passed away, and she had a great interest in this area, working on the Cornerstone Project and really helping to recognize the historic presence of the African Americans. So this move, although this is not African American owned, is clearly part of that story. In addition, when I first worked for the city in 1981, one of my tasks was reviewing the proposed demolitions. Piles of folders would come over my desk every day, and I was working for Commissioner Margaret Strawn at that point and went in and asked her what to do with them, and she said, just hide them. Don't sign them. Don't send them on. Well, that lasted for a couple of months, but as you can see, the bureaucracy got to us again, and more of them were torn down. It's great to be able to help put this house back there. We're thrilled. We're looking forward to making it happen. And it's just exciting for the community that everything's coming together. I want to give you a little report on the Morris Marks House as well. We got it moved. It's gone down on the foundation. We're about a month away from getting the building permits to renovate it. It's turning out to be a very expensive project, and some of the costs are public works requirements that we may be coming to talk to you about LIDing or waiving in the near future. But I don't want to get into any detail on that. This is a day to celebrate this house move and to move forward with this one. Thank you.
Hi, my name is AJ McCrary. I'm a community member, historian, and artist. I've known the Davis family for well over 15 years. Could not be more proud of them and excited for them to have this opportunity and to give back to our community. One, for this wrong to be made a little better, and an opportunity for this family to prosper in Portland, as well as an opportunity for people to learn from what they're doing. And then ultimately, this space will be for our community. We need that. We need to see POC and Black-owned spaces, and we need to see POC and Black people thriving in our city. Portland has a history of doing everything but allowing Black people and POC community members thrive. We need to make this better. It's long been time, and it would be really nice to see our leaders step up to the plate and start making those changes.
Thank you.
The next three are Cleo Davis Sr., Tasungut Davis, and K.M. Talton Davis.
I don't know. I might kind of change my mind.
Welcome.
Take the middle one, because this is the one I took when I was here 34 years ago.
Well, maybe you should take the other one.
Same panel.
I wasn't here.
No, but we had a Black guy there. That's for you to say.
Yeah, Jordan.
He what? Was that his name?
Mm-hmm. Was it Charles Jordan?
Might have been, yeah. Mm-hmm. So my name is Cleo Davis. And I'm 78 years old.
Looking good.
And this place brings back memories. Because when I first walked into this building with my mom, we was happy. Seen a black person on the committee. Oh. And after we got through talking, me and my mom walked out of here sad. Then I had to take her to the hospital. Because they was gone. They were gonna doze her both of the places. One thing I learned in life, when you live history, you don't have to read all that history. And I'm not no educated person, so that's how I found out. You don't, if you live history, you don't have to read history. They have to do it. They have to do it. I don't. And one thing I learned, and don't hold this against my kids. That's why I'm saying it. Please, don't take this out on my kid, because I'll be dead pretty soon. But that's the reason I say they'll have to live, and they'll have to continue this. And I always told them, you don't want to make none of these city people unhappy. Because if you do, you're doomed. Me, I'm old. I don't care about making them unhappy. Because I done lived my life and seen all the prejudice and stuff. Whenever you have to get up and beg and tell the city, and they tell you, you got to put $50,000 up to save your places. Don't we going to doze them? Then you sit down here and you beg them. And then they say, oh, that's right. They feel sorry for me, for my mom. And you know what the feeling sorry did? To us, it was a good thing. At least we were saving one. They say, you got a choice. You either put $50,000 up. Well, what about the interest on the $50,000 was a lot of money back in them days. Mm-hmm. What about the interest when we bring the $50,000 and put it up here? What y'all? No interest. Well, we about to start a death anyway. My mom on Social Security. Now, 34 years from now, I'm on Social Security. And I'm back in the same place. And just like I try to tell my kids, trust nobody. Because if they tell you something, and they don't write it down and you don't sign it, if you don't make agreement, in 2 days they can change. They can switch over. That's what you did. It's the same lie 34 years ago. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm feeling sorry for the rest of the people and my family, because they're gonna have to take this fight on. I'm too old now. So my mama always believed in faith. Little, you got to have some. You know how these church ladies, church people go to church and all they believe in faith. You got to believe in faith. I don't believe in faith. You know what I believe in? When you go to the casino, do you take faith with you or do you take luck? I'm taking luck with me when I go to the casino. I don't want no faith. Because faith let me down. I want luck. So, one thing I want to do, I want to be proved wrong. I want to believe what my mother believed in, faith. So if you pass this, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my mama's grave. And I'm going to tell my mom that she was right. And I was wrong, because you do have to have faith, not luck. But I'm going to tell you, when you walk into this place to me, and I forgot my rabbit foot. I should have brought it. I hope I can have faith in them. I'm not over here to try to sugarcoat my talking. Just don't take this out on my kid. That's all I got to say.
Well said. Thank you. Who wants to follow that?
Yeah.
And I do apologize. I don't want to lose the quorum because I want to prove you wrong. So we're going to have to keep the testimony closer
to
3 minutes.
Mine's short.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Ted Wheeler, commissioners. My name's Tasonga Davis. I'm the granddaughter of Mama Julia Davis and Johnny Davis. And to me, it's a pleasure to come here before you today, to be here with our family and for everyone to hear our story and our testament. And hopefully you can feel the passion from our family and our grandparents' legacy that they had a vision for and have instilled in us. And this legacy is still going on today. And this legacy is the legacy that we want to instill to all our girls and our family here today. So with passing this ordinance, that will continue this legacy. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Kayeen Talton Davis. I am married to Cleo Davis, Jr. Cleo and I have both, as our families have, resided in this city for quite a while. My story here in Portland, my family's story here in Portland, actually starts at the turn of the century. My great-grandfather owned a business here at the time where black folks were being chased out of town, and it was illegal for them to live here, much less own property. And so many times throughout Portland's history, it seems like that law has never gone away. You heard from Cleo about how hard it was for black people to purchase properties. There were things within the deed saying it couldn't be owned, it couldn't be passed on, they couldn't live in the house, all these things. And what I will say to you is that one of the things that Cleo and I specialize in is looking at that history, is looking at how that history has affected Portland. And not only from the side of just the law side, but what does the black community look like that's living through situations like that? What does the black community look like where you're not allowed to eat in certain places? Well, you build what you can build. You go and you work with your family. You work with your community. You develop what you can develop. And so when you have the opportunity as an older woman to purchase an apartment building to try to build that up and build something for your family, to create wealth within your family, because isn't that what we're all supposed to do, is to create wealth for our families, that it might be passed on and that our children and their children might have something to start with and not start from the bottom. But when you are taken, or when you have that taken away from you, and as you heard from Mr. Davis, that it had some serious health effects for his mother, that it's not only, again, a physical issue, a monetary issue, it's a legacy issue. And what Cleo and I are trying to do, what the family is trying to do, is to resurrect that legacy, is to create a legacy in which not only is it a financial help for the family to create wealth, but also to create for the city of Portland a wealth of knowledge about the Black community, about the Black arts, and about what people have done within this community in a location that was formerly a cornerstone for the community. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the Cornerstone Inventory, but it is a list of homes within Portland that were significant historically to the Black community. And I'm not sure how many of those still exist to this day. I know I haven't seen very many of them after looking at the list. And that's a shame, because it's important. It's important to see where your grandparents grew up, where your parents were involved, and know, have a place to the stories. Because without knowing the context, a lot of it gets lost. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not an angry old man now, though. Black man. I'm not an angry Black man now.
Sure.
That's the first thing they say.
That's okay. They angry say that Black about man. Me, too. They don't call me an angry Black man, but you know what I mean.
The next three are Laquita Lanford, Peggy Moretti, and Maya Fodi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm really here to support my community, and over the years, I have learned so much about the Black Portland history when I returned to Portland in 2014, and I have engaged my community by what I have learned through historical bike rides, through community engagements, through reclaiming spaces in Alberta. All that I have learned, I have spoke before you all, I have served for you all, and I truly believe that this is important for the future of our children that sit behind me today. And there's just two things that I wanted to state and read, just two quotes from Martin Luther King. His birthday was yesterday. And this spoke to me when Cleo was speaking. And I just want to say, it says, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." And the second quote is, "The time is always right to do what is right." So I'm asking you, Mayor and Commissioners, to do what's right for our community, to continue having us come together and support each other with what it is that we need, and to make change, because we are a part of this historical change on a level of, like, we can go digital, we can do anything to support any one of us. And I just wanted to ask you guys to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, and good to meet you, Commissioner Hardesty. I'm Peggy Moretti. I am the Executive Director of Restore Oregon. I'm here to urge your support of these requests today. I think it's so important to preserve the Mayo House and advance its new life as a cornerstone of African-American heritage. And I want to acknowledge that we have a lot of work to do in the preservation community to support that effort in a more proactive way. But it's not every day that we have an opportunity to advance two important goals with one vote. I think we have the opportunity to advance the idea of density without demolition by moving a meaningful historic building, and take a step towards community restoration by enabling this historic home to help preserve African American heritage and create a place of memory, research, advancement, and art, as their Facebook page says, we do urge you to please authorize the relocation of the Mayo House without and all the necessary zoning adjustments to waive the system development fees so that this is more financially viable and ensure that it remains on the historic